Testament book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 23. When thou sittest down to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what's set before thee. And put a knife to... Boy, this is going to be a hard scripture to obey. Think about this. If you like to eat too much, it says, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and eternal word. It's easier to get your head turned than you might think it is. We don't intend to fail the Lord. We don't intend to fail as a human being by the wayside. But it's hard to resist stepping up the social ladder. And say, oh, we're this country people, we don't care about this. No, but if Dolly Parton came into the service this morning, it'd be a sight to see you falling all around to see who could shake hands with her. Not any disrespect to her. If someone famous came or someone very, very rich came and invited you to go along with them, you could find yourself very easily going along with them and doing what they wanted to do the way they wanted to do it, even though you don't like it and don't want it. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about a ruler inviting someone to dinner, offering them all of his dainties and his good things and his nice things and his wonderful things. But when it's over, the fact is, if you want to go ahead and read this, said eventually you're going to be made to throw it up as vomit, and exactly what it says. And you need to think about that because it comes firing back at us. And so we have to know, what's this ruler thinking? What's this person that has all this influence and affluence? What's this person thinking when he invites us to eat with him? What's he thinking when he takes us out and wines us and dines us? Many business transactions, my friend, are not done in the corporate boardroom, not done in the parts of the business where the rubber meets the road, but they're done in a restaurant or done at a social gathering or done at where somebody meets together and talks together and does the things that are there. And so we have to ask ourselves, what do we think? We say sometimes, a penny for your thoughts. Don't we say that? Sometimes we say, what are you thinking? How many times have you ever heard that from a parent? What were you thinking? Well, maybe we weren't thinking. And so we have to think, what do we think? Does God even care what we think? You say, well, if I think it, it don't hurt nobody but me. Well, that's not necessarily the truth. Because if your thoughts cause you to act out something or to do something, then you have affected other people. And if your thoughts keep you from being the kind of father or mother or family member that you ought to be, then, my friend, your thoughts have counted. And we have to ask ourselves, does God care what we think? What does God have to say about what we think? Well, first of all, you're going to say right off the bat, you can't help what you think. That's not true. You know what they say when they talk about diet? You are what you eat. When you have thoughts, where do they come from? What influences your thought? What have you been eating this week that makes you think about whatever? that you're thinking about? Why are you thinking about that? Why are you thinking about it in the way you're thinking about it? Let me tell you something, my friend. If you continuously feed your soul and body a diet of secular worldly music, a diet of secular entertainment, and you do not have a counterbalance of that with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and a prayer life to add to your mental bank that you're building up there, my friend, you're going to be influenced by something else. Sometimes, I don't know, the other day, song suddenly in my mind. Every word of it. From years ago. I mean, years ago. Fact is, when I got saved and came out of the world, rockabilly was still in. Elvis was just getting great. He wasn't the king yet. All of that kind of thing. And it's amazing how things come back to you. And sometimes we can act like that all of the influences of our life are come at us from outside. Something somebody said, something somebody does. And that can be true, but that cannot be true. Thing of it is, I'm telling you, you can go out here in the woods by yourself, where there's nobody but you and the Lord, and the devil maybe. You can go out there and spend time by yourself and be there by yourself, and things will come to your mind and present themselves in your brain that you weren't thinking about when you went out, and no one else was there to say them to you. There was nothing there. But Satan is waging a battle for the minds of America. And he's smart. You say the devil's smart? I'm afraid he is, my friend. I wish I could tell you he was dumb as a coal bucket. But he's not. He is a crafty person. And he is a diabolically evil crafty person. And he is waging a battle for your mind. And he starts early. He starts waging it for these little kids. There are cartoons for children that your children should not be watching. There are entertainments for young people that they should not be seeing because they have an influence going the wrong way. And our thoughts are influenced by this. Have you noticed that there's almost never a time that you're in silence? There's almost never a time that it's quiet and silent and you don't have to listen. I notice that everywhere we go, there's secular music playing, worldly music playing. I notice that everywhere we go, there's things in front of our eyes, things in our ears, things feeding themselves into our minds and thoughts. And ultimately, my friends, they influence the way we think. Who would have thought, in fact is that's one of the things Mark and I were talking about yesterday evening, who would have thought many years ago that people would have the attitude on the average in America toward homosexuality or abortion or any of those issues that we're talking about? Who would have thought it? My friend, it couldn't have been. And yet, my friends, we have our thoughts, and you say, well, you can't control them. Well, old preacher used to be around here, Preacher Huffman, he said one day, you can't help if a bird flies over your head, but you don't have to let it build a nest in your hair. Well, he has a point, my friends. The truth is that you can control what you're thinking about. You say, well, it just came to me. Then rebuke that thought. Rebuke that thought. I discovered one morning I was taking a shower and my mind was 100 miles away or something, and I knew that the thought pattern I was going down was not the right way. So I said, Lord God, rebuke the devil. You say, well, that's good. And I said, in the name of Jesus. But that wasn't what he told me to do. He told me to rebuke the devil. Not to ask God to rebuke the devil. He told me to rebuke the devil. Told me to tell the devil what to do. And as we fight these battles, and Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, that we are not fighting against a flesh and blood enemy. We're not fighting against a physical enemy, but we are fighting against the powers and the principalities of darkness and the spiritual rulers in high places. My friend, this atmosphere around the earth, as wonderful as it is, and I have enjoyed so much in the last week, the clear skies and the clear air and the beautiful flowers and all the things of nature that we can see everywhere. I've enjoyed that so much. I just really revel in it and rejoice in it. But the truth is, my friend, that it's not all sunshine and roses, I'm afraid. And as I look at the world that's around me, I can hardly believe the time that we're in, the things that we're facing. And I tremble at thinking the things our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will have to face and the things that they will see. Now, when God was about 2,000 years into the creation of man here on earth, and had put man here, he was so disgusted with what man had done that he said, I'm going to send a flood and wash them all away. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he built an ark. But my friends, what was the hallmark of that day and time? The imagination, the what? The imagination of man was evil from his youth. My brothers and sisters, as you look at the world today, you say imagination. That's not just a thing for children to have where they play with something. Imagination is nothing in a child compared to what it is in an adult. We adults have imaginations, and our imaginations get carried away with us more often than not. In fact is, if the root word of that whole thing is probably image, we're quick to condemn a religion that uses idols and images, and I concur that that's reproachable at any rate. But my friend, listen to me. We have mental images. We have mental images that are in there. And we have mental images that Satan pets and Satan cultivates and Satan feeds. And if you don't watch it, you'll be eating a steady diet of destruction that will be into that. Because when you look at that in the New Testament, then Paul said that the weapons of our warfare, I just quoted that to you, and then he said what? To the tearing down of what? Yes, in imaginations. Imaginations. God's Spirit comes, and when he comes, he doesn't just, you know, we want to talk about him cleaning up ourselves from our physical habits, smoking and drinking and things like that. And don't misunderstand me for one second. The Holy Ghost does that. That's the business of the Holy Ghost in your life, is to sanctify you. But I tell you something else he does. He works on your mind. If you'll let God, oh, that's the thing, isn't it? If you'll let God, then God will cleanse your mind and your soul, and you can think. You know, he said in one place, whatsoever things are lovely, and he lists all those things, he said, think on these things. Now, if he's telling us what to think, then, my friend, that means that you have control of your thinking process. He says, let not vain thoughts lodge within. So God, in fact, is keeping a record of our thinking. Wonder how we'd stack up. We had a big screen and we could project our thoughts for a whole day on that screen. If we could project our thoughts in every situation in life, would we be so happy for others to see it? Let me tell you, God knows every thought you think. You say, well, if you don't say it, it's no harm in it. My friend, for you to harbor that in yourself becomes a festering sore into your life. So we have to have the power of God to tear down our imaginations. But I have to tell you, you live in a world where you're being told what to think. Think about it just a little bit. Politicians, they're trying to tell you what to think. People with different views in science are trying their best to tell you what to think. So you're being told what to think. And sometimes we are told what to think, but it isn't the right thing at all. Something happened in the news this past week that tells me that I can't trust everything I hear and everything I see. I can't trust, you know, it used to be we'd say, click, the camera don't lie. And we'd say, oh, I look so big in that picture. We say, well, the camera don't lie. Well, we... But let me tell you something, the camera does lie. You live in a day and age where the camera can lie. There was, during this war between the Palestinians and the Jews in Israel, there was projected on Facebook or some form of the World Wide Web into the Palestinians to stir them up and to stir people up against the Jews, and they have been in the United States and other places too, have resorted to riots and beating people and all kinds of things just because they were Jews. They showed in a Palestinian town all of the people that had been killed. And there were body bags with bodies in them laying in a row. And it showed all of that. And you say, that's awful. It sure was. Except that it happened about 20 years ago in Egypt. It did not happen this week in the Palestinian-Jewish fight, but it was used as a weapon. Now, that's not going to affect you at all, but it incited riots and it incited people to move. And you say, why are you telling that? Because I'm telling you that someone is manipulating the news that you receive. You cannot go to the 7 o'clock evening news and suppose that you're going to hear the exact thing that's happening in the news. You're going to hear what that news anchor chooses to tell you. That's going to happen in lots of things. Now, Satan is going to use more and more and more. And I've heard people accused, if you see somebody on Facebook or someplace, such place, and they're in a compromising position, you be sure that the head and face of that person is the same as the body that's under it. Because you may be quoting what somebody did and it's been doctored up on the computer. You're living in that day and time. And God is watching us, my friend, and we need His direction every day that we live, because you're being fed all kinds of information every day that you live. You're being fed all kinds of things, and yes, and pictures, and the camera does lie, because they can go on the camera and substitute one thing for another, blend it in together, and you can't tell the difference with the naked eye. And sometimes you can't tell the difference even if you're a skilled performer looking at that kind of thing. So I'm telling you that we live in a world that Satan is warring for your mind. That's why pornography is so easy to pick up on the internet. That's why misinformation is so easy to pick up, because Satan is warring. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies, the Bible said. And my friend, he delights in telling lies. He delights in telling things that aren't true. It may seem insignificant to you. I mean, showing a picture of a bunch of bodies laying in body bags over in Egypt 20 years ago or whatever it was, that seems harmless to you. My friend, that was enough to create a war over there. That was enough to make all the Palestinians out with the Jews, and even in New York and places, they've been beating Jewish people because of it, and there's no foundation to it. My brothers and sisters, we live in a day and time that we need to think, where are our thoughts coming from? Now, Jesus was very clear that he said, out of the mouth proceeds what? From the heart. What does the scripture that we just read today say? As a man thinketh in his heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking? Are you thinking hateful thoughts towards someone? Are you thinking poisonous thoughts? Are you thinking thoughts that destroy and tear down? Are you thinking good thoughts? What do you read? What do you watch? What do you listen to? We used to sing a little song in the kindergarten, be careful little feet where you walk, be careful little hands what you do, be careful little mouth how you talk. My friend, that may be a child's song for kindergarten, but that's good theology for us people. My friend, we need to be careful what we feed. And you don't necessarily have to go as far as my mother, but I notice there's lots of people that are doing that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying you don't have to. Mother said, I'm not going to watch any of that because all it does is just tear you up. She has a point. She had a point. So I ask you today, my friend, since God is paying attention to what we think, how many of you believe you can pray a prayer through and get an answer without ever saying a word out loud? Amen. Amen? Absolutely. Most of us have been in places where we couldn't pray out right that minute, but we could pray. Do we believe God hears us when we pray without ever making a sound? Absolutely. Absolutely, we believe that. Now, if we believe that God hears us even when we aren't saying a word out loud, when God hears us when we're praying in our mind and in our heart, we were at, I think, Pigeon Forge or someplace where they had a musical variety show. And as we watched that variety show and that music, they got down toward the end. Of course, they always put this last. They had hymns, and they were good. They really could sing. I don't have any idea who it was that was singing, but there was a lady singing, and some way or another, I knew that she could be receptive to the Holy Ghost. And without saying a word out loud that anyone could hear, I fervently prayed that the Holy Ghost would come down in that song and touch her. Yippee-i-yo. He did. Tears and shouting and the whole nine yards. And the Lord blessed and the Lord touched. And I said, and you say, can I say thank you, Jesus, without a word out loud? Uh-huh. And I'm convinced that the Lord heard my prayer. I just prayed the Spirit down on her, that was all. Kind of, you say, you think you could actually ask the Lord to send His Spirit on somebody and He would? I certainly do. I'll tell you a little story. One time, Sister Effie and the old people, way back old people, were having a meeting down here in the little church, the little wooden church, the first one. And it was a man over in Bluff City that was running from the law. And they were chasing him. And he needed to get away from them. And he got a boat and oared across the river and run up through the holler. And he had to find a place to hide. And there was Miss Gilmer and her bunch having church. And he decided that was a place to hide. So he ran into church and ran up the aisle and knelt at the altar. Wrong altar. Sister Effie said, pray the power down on him. And those people all gathered around him and commenced praying. The Holy Ghost come down. He jumped up and ran. And I can't remember the words he said, but something about, you know, let the law get him or whatever. But when the Holy Ghost came down, it just took him over. God can hear and answer and does hear and answer. And I have to tell you something that's been with me this week that I thought about. You know, we started out traveling toward Nashville, and I prayed earnestly that the Lord would protect us. God knows on the highway you need it nowadays. I prayed that the Lord would protect us, and the Lord would be with us, watch over us, and believed He would be. And then it hit me. I asked Him to protect us on the highway, and I believe He would and did. Why didn't I just ask Him to heal me? And what I thought was, is anything too hard for God? That was a question that was asked, you know, when Sarah was, 90 years old, and the Lord's sitting in her house talking and said, you're going to have a baby. And she laughed. I don't think the Lord ever held that against her. He understood why she laughed. I mean, you know, you go tell one of our 90-year-old ladies around here she's going to have a baby. See what you get. And the Lord said she's going to have the little baby. And she's standing behind the tent making the bread. And she laughed. Say, the Lord don't hear? He heard her laugh. She only laughed to herself. She didn't ha-ha out for everybody to hear. She just laughed within herself. Me have a baby at 90 years old? I can hear her thoughts now. And the Lord heard her thoughts. Now, that's a sobering thought, that the Lord hears and records your thoughts. That could be scary, don't you think? That could also be comforting. I am so glad that God knows my heart and that God can hear my thoughts, because sometimes my thoughts are much more devoted than my exterior. What's inside of me is more faithful than what's outside of me. You understand? Amen. Would you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Father, I pray that you'll take the word of God this morning and make us cognizant of the fact that you are the Almighty God, and that you hear and answer prayer, and that you know the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Father, you know what we intend to do, what we should have done, and what we couldn't have done. Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you that in all of this, that you can be glorified and you can touch us. I pray that we will carry this message with us away from this house and impale it into our own lives and our own hearts, that we, Lord, can walk with you in the beauty of holiness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.